Thank you, Mark and Miriam. All right, if you take your Bible tonight and turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 12. I'm back again doing Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I've moved the Ten Commandments to Sunday night, and tonight we're going to look at John chapter 8, verse 12. It's amazing when you're in the public eye what people think. It hadn't crossed your mind. I had an active church member come in the other day, and he said, "I heard you're just sick all the time now. It's the report I'm hearing." He's serious. Well, it is. I haven't been preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, so they assume you're sick. Now, I may be in ICU tonight on life support. May happen before the night's over, but if I've been sick, I don't know anything about it. So let not your heart be troubled. Billy and Ted built the attendance up. Now I'm going to take it down over the next few weeks. Listen, I've been preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for over 35 years, and I've decided since I reached a milestone in my life and my insurance changed that my greatest leadership trait ought to be delegation. And so I just think we ought to hear from Ted and hear from Billy regularly. So that's what you're going to get later on. John chapter 8, verse 12. I was watching the Mike Huckabee show on TBN. It's on Saturday nights at 8, Sunday nights at 8. It's the same show. But I encourage you to look at that. On November 4th, 2018, he had two ladies. And these ladies used to be actresses. They have founded an organization, a conservative political organization called PolitiChicks. And I encourage you to look that up. One of these ladies said that her claim to fame is that she starred in Dallas back in the 70s. You remember Who Shot JR? She said, well, she was the one that killed Bobby Ewing, but he came back to life. And she said she never could understand that. Both these ladies are Christians. And the lady that starred in Dallas said when she began her career, somebody told her she needed an agent, so an agent was recommended. She said, on this particular day, I sat down with this agent. He spelled out what he could do for me. He said, on this day, she said, I'd worn a gold cross necklace. And at the end of our conversation, she said, well, I'm going to have to get back to you. He reached across the desk and ripped the cross off of her neck and said, in Hollywood, we don't have a religion. And if I'm going to represent you, you're going to have to ditch this. So she said, I went home and prayed that night and called that agent back the next day and said, I don't believe I will need your services. Now I want you to see what he says in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It's interesting when you go back in Genesis, where we begin in Genesis chapter 1, we find that darkness was over all the surface of the deep. So the first thing God created was what? Let there be light, and there was light. And we find in the Bible, we find in our day, in every generation of man, there's a struggle between darkness and light. Now let's make this a little more personal. Has there ever been a time when you had a little confusion, didn't have clear directions? Has there been a time when you'd known depression or maybe a bad diagnosis or some kind of fear or things like that? And occasionally we think we're sort of in a dark place in life. But what we'll find in this message tonight, Jesus shines light in those days as well for his children. First of all, following the darkness, Jesus says, if you follow me, you won't be walking in darkness. I love Dr. John Phillips. He's at Moody Bible Institute for years. He commented that the second great I am the light, saying of Jesus, was on a subsequent occasion. He said, perhaps the people began to congregate in the temple courts. And he said, as yet, the rulers were not wholly blinded by their hate. And the rank and file of common people were vacillating. In the court of women where Jesus was speaking stood a great golden candelabra, the lamps of which were lighted on the night of the Feast of Tabernacles and perhaps on other nights. He said it symbolized the Shekinah glory, light which had guided Israel in the wilderness journeys and which had shone for centuries in Solomon's temple. It had departed from the city prior to the Babylonian invasion. and has never lighted the second temple. He said, like the copper shields made by King Rehoboam to replace the golden ones that formerly adorned the temple and which were stolen by the Egyptians, the Jews tried to keep up appearance with a make-believe Shekinah. He said, it's against that background that the Lord Jesus proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. We find that light is characteristic of God. If you turn to 1 John 1:5, and I'm going to shoot a lot of scriptures at you tonight. We also see this first thing God created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And then he says, also he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Jesus said, but shall have the light of life. People that are following Muhammad, people that are following Krishna, and all these others, they are walking in darkness. All of us are not going to the same place. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the only way to salvation. So turn to John chapter 12 and look at verse 35. We talk about lostness. Then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in dark does not know where they are going. Before we're saved, we're walking in spiritual darkness. We don't realize that till the Holy Spirit convicts us after the gospel's presented us that we're in need of a Savior. But there are times that even after we're Christians, we feel like we're in some kind of confusion. I remember when I finished my four-year college, my bachelor's degree in business administration, I had thought until I was in my junior year that God called that I was going to be a lawyer. And then through my devotions there as I was a senior in college after I was saved as a junior, and then when I got out of college, I was still, through my devotions, God was speaking to me that this is what I was supposed to do. But I can remember just feeling like I was at a dark time, I was in a confusing time, till God gave me clear light on what I was supposed to do. Now, sometimes there's some darkness in the dysfunction of worship. Now, what do I mean by that? In Romans chapter 1:25, it says they exchanged truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Everybody worships someone or something. Everybody does. It can be materialism. It can be your dog or your cat. It can be your career. It can be your children or your grandchildren. God doesn't want to share his worship. He wants it to be on him alone. I was reading about a couple the other day that had a cat. The woman worshiped that cat. The husband hated it. He said that cat left hair all over the furniture, all over the floors. He said, I just don't like cats to start with, but especially this one my wife had. So his wife took a trip. And while she was gone, out of town for several days, he took the cat down to a boat dock. And he put the cat in a boat and shoved it off out in the lake. And he went back home. And a couple of days later, his wife came home. She says, where's the cat? He said, I don't know. He's been missing for days. And he was telling the truth. He didn't know exactly where he was. He launched it off in a boat. And so she called neighbors. She went out, drove around. This went on for several days. And so finally, the husband said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run an ad in the paper and I'm going to put up some signs. He said, your cat's only worth $100. That's what we paid for the cat. Can you imagine paying $100 for a cat? And then he said, I'm going to put up a $5,000 reward for your cat. And she was just so touched. She was in tears. She said, honey, I know how much you despise that cat, but this shows how much you love me that you would offer $5,000 for the recovery of that cat. So a couple of days later, he was out walking in the neighborhood, and one of his friends walked up and said, I can't believe you've offered a $5,000 reward for that cat. You hated that cat. And the husband said, well, if you knew what I knew, it wouldn't be so bad. Y'all didn't get that, did you? When you know what Christians know about eternal life, when we know what we know about the welcoming committee there, when you know what we know, all those kind of things, I want you to know that You worship Christ in spirit and in truth. There's darkness and dysfunctionality with sex in our society. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever belong to a church or church in a denomination that's got a vote on what constitutes a marriage, a male and a female, and who's qualified to serve in ministry, don't stay for the vote. Vote with your feet and your wallet and get as far from that place as you possibly can. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. He's talking about treating our bodies with less dignity and honor than they were meant to have. Eskimos used to hunt for wolves, and what they would do is they would take a knife and put the point and the blade side up through a huge layer of ice, and then they would cake it with frozen blood from an animal. And then as the wolf would come along hunting at night, smell that blood and start licking, and didn't realize that when it licked far enough, they were actually licking their own blood as their tongue was sliced. And the next day, they would find the wolf dead. It had eaten its own blood because it just couldn't get enough. And that's the way our society is with sex. We're saturated with it on television, on your tablets and your smartphones, the magazines. And America has perverted what God meant to be good. And it's just like our society can't get enough. There's also darkness and dysfunction in relationships. Romans 1, 29. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossip. So we don't have this light in our hearts. We have an acting in ways that destroy our relationship. We envy. We deceive. We gossip. And sometimes we act selfishly. I was reading the other day about a couple who went for marriage counseling. And so finally, the marriage counselor said, I just want you to take a piece of paper and draw a T on there, a big T. And on the left side, I want you to write all the positive things about your marriage. And on the right side, I want you to write all the negative things. Well, this couple said, listen, we're ready to get a divorce lawyer. You're the last barrier as a counselor before we end this marriage. So they wrote down, and on the right-hand side, the negatives outnumber the positives about 4-1. And the counselor took that, he read all of it, and then he tore up both of the sheets right in front of the husband and wife. They said, it took us a long time to put that list together. Why'd you tear it up? He said, the problem with your relationship is you're trying to live by rules and regulations that you expect out of your spouse, and you're not working on your relationships. There's darkness in relationships. There's also dysfunction in life and darkness. John 3:19 says, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world. People love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. What did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? They ran. They went to hide. There was something they were ashamed of. We were meant to live openly and unashamedly. But when we're walking in darkness, we avoid the light. We cover up that which is in our life that would not be holy and acceptable to God. Now notice what he says about following Christ. I said earlier, this theme of darkness and light is something you see all through the Bible. And in the beginning, God spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light. And many times in Scripture, God describes himself using the image of light. Just going to give you some scriptures quickly. 2 Samuel 23:4. He is like the light of the morning at sunrise. Psalm 104, verse 2. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 Timothy 6:15. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. So you get the idea. God's character, God's being is filled with light. So you take an honest look at ourselves, and we see darkness in our lives. We see dysfunction. Sometimes there's shame. And you realize more than anything else, we need his light always to break in to our darkness. Now let's talk about following the light. How can our life be lit by Christ? Christ lights our life by giving us clarity. He gives us clarity. This is really the opposite of lostness, because when we're allowing Jesus to be the center of our life, he becomes the true north. We look at life and we look at people and we look at problems, and based on how Jesus taught us to look at those things, there's one other place where Jesus calls himself the light of the world here in John, and that's in John chapter 9. And he goes to this passage where Jesus gives sight to the blind. Man says, I once was blind, but now I see. You say, well, Jesus doesn't say, I'm the light. No, what happens is when this man opens his eyes, his blindness is gone, he says he sees the light. Somebody takes something from you. Somebody says something critical about you. If someone wants to take your shirt, he says here to give them your coat. If somebody wants you to go to a mile, go with them 2 miles. C.S. Lewis wrote this: I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun is risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. That's not to say following Christ makes every decision easy, but I know one thing. If you get in the Word and you pray, he has a way in his timing of giving us clarity about what we're supposed to do. Second thing is transparency. John 3:20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But then they look at the next verse in verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. We follow Christ and we're allowing him to mold us and change us. Our life becomes less and less hidden. He knows all things anyway, even our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions, every breath, every hair. But we're a little more transparent when we have Jesus as our light. Some people struggle with some dark things. And I want you to know, when you get in the Word, God makes that transparent. And the good thing is there's grace and forgiveness out there. And then reflective. We have light. It gives us reflectivity. I mean, the moon always comes up over the little hill. Back of our house, there's some pine trees in the lot behind us, right on the property line. And you see it coming. I love a full moon. We've had a blue moon not too long ago. We see the harvest moon. Moon has absolutely no source of light in and of itself. It just reflects that of the sun. And so we, as followers of Christ, have got to be the light of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5, Paul said, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. You know, I look at that and I think you should meditate on that just a little bit. And when we were lost, we were in spiritual darkness. When we get saved, he causes his light to shine and be reflected from our lives as we follow him. You get to know people when you get in small groups. And what you hope as you get to know people a little more one-on-one, the light of Christ reflects from them onto you and yours onto them, and it causes you to be encouraged to be more like Jesus Christ. You all remember what happened last year on February the 21st, 2018. Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord. Mike Huckabee said, when he got the news of Billy Graham's death, quote, "When I heard this morning that Billy Graham died, I said, that's fake news. He's more alive right now than he's ever been." Listen to what Billy Graham said years ago. And this was shared, I understand, on Twitter. Said it was lighting up as frequently as every 15 seconds the day he died. Billy Graham had said, "Someday you'll read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." And although it gets at the very essence of what Dr. Graham preached, it was an adaptation from an 18th century preacher, D.L. Moody, who was the most prominent evangelist of the 19th century, I mean 18th, he had said this as well, and he was one of the heroes of Billy Graham. You know what I find real interesting? Is when I go to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 1 through 4, we find darkness and God created light. Now take your Bible and turn to Revelation. And I want you to turn to chapter 22, which is the which chapter in the Bible? That would be what? The last chapter in the Bible. And you go to verse 5. And he's talking about heaven here. There will be no more night. Bible starts with there's darkness all over the surface of the deep. And here in heaven he says, there's not going to be any more darkness. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Just let you know that light wins over spiritual darkness. So in the meantime, no matter how dark things get as we walk through this life, remember Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. Whosoever follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In the last chapter of the Bible, it says that heaven will be lighted by Jesus himself. Let's pray together.